Are you like me? I drag myself out of bed every morning, stumble to the bathroom, turn on the light, and face this mess in the mirror. And that's tough enough to deal with, tougher for some of us than others. But this morning, we're going to talk about something that's even tougher. Spiritually, how do you see yourself? How do you look at yourself in that mirror of God's Word? If you've been a Christian very long, you understand this challenge. And the fact is, most Christians are really hard on themselves. Do you agree with that? Especially on the bad days. You may begin a day feeling happy and contented and blessed. There's a deep sense of well-being spiritually. But then things begin to happen. And like a polar cold front sweeping through Oklahoma, a gust of guilt suddenly chills you to the bone. And you're not even sure why. And you begin wondering, is it wrong to feel happy about who I am spiritually, what I am spiritually? What's the matter with me? Do I have no humility? And so in a moment of confusion, all positive views of self are exterminated. Why? Because somehow it just seems so unchristian to be so positive about me. And somewhere along the line, you've concluded that a Christian must know that they're nothing. They're nothing. And that Christ is everything. And listen to me, nothingness, well, that can't be very positive. So how do you view yourself? No doubt all of us can relate to this struggle. I'm not talking, by the way, to folks who are playing with sin or who are blatantly living in sin, who are refusing to change their behavior. If that describes you this morning, you need to repent or you're going to lose your soul in hell. I'm talking to those of you who are striving with all you have to live in the light. Striving to be pleasing to God every minute of every day of your life. And yet, often you find yourself chiding yourself and lecturing and condemning. And sometimes you can only see yourself as this failure spiritually. Feeling utterly depressed and miserable. You hold yourself in contempt. Here's the real tragedy in all of this. With this kind of self-image, you end up being an effective, deeply depressed, non-productive Christian. And this morning, we're going to take a close look at one battle attitude which will help us to view ourselves the way God wants us to view ourselves. And this is the attitude which will help you become productive, fruitful, and active as a child of God. But beware, don't expect any new mysterious revelation. In fact, this lesson is, well, it's about as basic as it gets. And this attitude we're talking about, basic as you get, and a bottom line necessity in Christian living. Here's the attitude, a faithful servant attitude. Get your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 17. This attitude is captured in Luke 17, verses 5 through 10. Verse 5 is interesting. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. You ever found yourself asking that prayer. Lord, just increase my faith. Strengthen me. Verse 6, Luke 17, 6. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? Will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. And so likewise you, when you've done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Now, you can't really appreciate this passage till you see the context of it. And if you back up to verses 1 through 4, Jesus there just literally astonishes his disciples with two frightening responsibilities. The first one is this: you must never cause others to stumble. Look at verse 1. Then he said to his disciples, it's impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And so clearly Jesus is saying that you'd be better off dead rather than to cause one of these little ones to sin, to stumble. Never forget, no disciple of Christ Jesus lives alone. You must be the right kind of example. But then number two, secondly, Jesus says you must shoulder the responsibility of forgiveness. Verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And so Jesus is teaching these apostles that they were to rebuke the sinner, but they were to forgive the penitent. Forgiveness. Do you agree with me that that's one of the ultimate challenges in our life? Is to forgive others. And it's not like we hold a grudge against everyone. Some folks are easy to forgive. But what about the knothead who is continually getting under your skin over and over and over? I mean, come on, seven times in a day? Seven times? Admit it. For most of us, that becomes unforgivable. No wonder the disciples pleaded to the Lord, increase our faith. Immediately, when Jesus said, forgive them seven times in a day, the first thing they did was look at themselves. Did you notice that? And they didn't like what they saw. Forgive? Really? Seven times in a day? Lord, please help us to trust you. Please help us to be true to you. Lord, increase our faith. And so our text begins with this urgent request for a stronger faith. Obviously, these men had stepped up to the challenge of faith in many ways. I mean, they'd left fishing boats and businesses and friends and family to follow Jesus. And yet, here's the reality. Their faith was still minuscule. smaller than that tiny, tiny little mustard seed. And someday, they would be considered by most people as spiritual giants, but not yet. No. At least 11 of them weren't. Not yet. In the future, the apostles would face death bravely, courageously, faithfully, with no doubts. A solid faith. But they weren't ready for that yet. Not even close. And they knew it. They knew their faith was weak. And so as Jesus presents them with this incredible challenge to never be a stumbling block and forgive others, Lord, increase our faith. After Jesus indicts them for their weak faith, did you notice the peculiar question he asked them beginning in verse 7? Let's read that again. Verse 7. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he's come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. In the first century, everyone understood the master-servant relationship. I mean, this wasn't a big puzzle in anyone's mind. The master's not going to have chicken fried steak and corn on the cob and, you know, fresh green beans and biscuits and gravy ready for the servant when he comes in from doing his work in the fields. That wasn't going to happen. And the master's not going to lavish praise on this servant for plowing and then coming home and cooking. The servant had one purpose. Everybody understood this. Serve the master. Serve the master. And when the servant had worked himself to exhaustion, he had only done what was his duty. Again, these disciples understood this relationship, but now Jesus makes the application to them. Verse 10. So likewise, you, when you've done all those things which are commanded, say, we're unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. And so when you have done everything that God commands, you have simply done what a servant does. You're still just a servant. And with that very simple, basic concept, Jesus is going to teach his disciples to grow in faith. Now, this is a little puzzling. You might look at this and say, what does this lesson have? What is the lesson about the obedient servant and the disciples' request for more faith? Doesn't seem to fit, does it? What do they have in common? Well, first, we need to go back to the question. Jesus challenges them to never be a stumbling block. Jesus challenges them to forgive the penitent. And this colossal challenge demanded their ultimate faith. In other words, this was beyond their ability, and they knew it. And so they asked Jesus to help them learn, listen carefully, learn to be dependent. Give us trust in you. Give us confidence that if we live your way, we'll be blessed. and be a blessing to others. Jesus, help us to completely depend on God. Don't miss this. Are you listening? They couldn't grow in faith until they understood who was dependent on whom. And this is really your question. Are you dependent on God, or is God dependent on you? Are you the source of God's security, or is He yours? Does God serve you, or do you serve Him? Some folks approach worship as though God is worshiping them. It's what they can get, not what they can express to God. Who's in the role of need and dependence versus power and being a sustainer? Listen carefully. Don't take these questions lightly. Jesus is teaching you that your faith can increase only when you increase your awareness of the extent that you need God, and that you're here to serve Him. These disciples had to understand they were servants of the Master. They were not going to be immortalized or decorated for being good examples to others and even forgiving their enemies. They were not making extraordinary sacrifices until they accepted the role of servants. Their faith couldn't grow until they understood they were just servants depending on the Father. Look at verse 10 again. And so likewise you, when you've done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We've done what was our duty to do. Have you come to grips with that fact? You are an unprofitable servant. You may be thinking, well, what does that mean? Does it mean that you're nothing in the eyes of God? No, that's definitely not what it means. Does it mean that God doesn't value and love you? No, that's not what it means. It means that you're not the source of profit. You're not the source of blessings or happiness or joy or peace or prosperity or wealth. And on and on and on that list can go. You are not the source of that. You are dependent on God for every good thing in this life. Amen. That's what it means to be an unprofitable servant. And your deepest desire is to simply be His servant, His obedient servant. And with that view of yourself, now you have the foundation upon which to build spiritual growth. You won't be gloating over your accomplishments. Look what I did. Your relationship to God will be described with one word: dependence. Dependence. Now, how does this all relate to how you view yourself? First of all, never forget, it's so easy to become arrogant. It's an attitude that says, Lord, You should be proud of me. Look at all that I do. Just look at me. Or Lord, you might be able to do this and suffer without me, but boy, it would be so much more difficult without me. And with those kind of attitudes, you reverse roles with Christ. God and Christ now become dependent on you. As your own self dependence grows, your faith dies. Are you listening? Peter's a classic example of this. Jesus told Peter and the other apostles that he was going to die. And you remember Peter's response. He harshly rebuked Jesus for saying such a thing. And in fact, he told Jesus that, hey, I'll go to prison, I'll even die to protect you. You're not going to die, period. But think about what Peter was really saying. Peter's confidence was in himself, not God. Himself. In other words, Peter's was not saying, Jesus, you need to take care of me. Peter was saying, I'm going to take care of you. And he meant it. He meant it. It was Peter who pulled out a sword that he didn't know how to use. And he went for Malchus's head and only got an ear. I mean, these were ridiculous odds. One fisherman against a whole small army of trained soldiers. You understand, Peter really believed in himself, which removed all potential of fully believing and trusting in Christ. You can't do it both ways. And so when the rooster crowed, Peter's tears were to some degree about his own failure to protect his king. And he didn't have a clue yet how much he needed to depend on Jesus. That lesson was still to be learned. And with this failure to understand, listen to me, arrogance will get you every time. Every time. Now, secondly, this passage warns us not to exaggerate the significance of our own service and obedience. The apostles must have looked back at this period of time and blushed with embarrassment. They were arguing over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Who was going to sit at his right side and left side. They were jealous about who would get the seats of greatest power and authority, the closest to the throne. And so Peter asked Jesus, I want you to try to wrap your head around this. Peter asking Jesus, Matthew 19:27, see, we've left all and followed you. We've left all and followed you. We left our fishing businesses, our boats, our family. We left all to follow you. Therefore, what shall we have? That doesn't sound like a question from a fully dependent servant, right? And you may be wondering, isn't what I do for the Lord important? Absolutely. It is so important. But why you're doing it is even more important. We do what we do because we are servants of our Lord. We are unprofitable servants. We're not the source of any blessings, but we're the source of a labor of love and a work of faith. And every good thing comes from Him. And because of that, we'll never do more than we should do. And the key is, we never base how we feel about ourselves spiritually on the basis of our grand accomplishments. We are just servants, thankful for the privilege of serving the one upon whom we depend for all good things. Listen carefully. Christianity makes no sense unless Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. Faith begins and ends with Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, and each of us fully dependent on Him. Christ being Lord is not dependent on you. He is Lord. And the question is, are you willing to fully depend on Him? Again, look in the mirror. Look at the mirror of God's Word and see yourself spiritually. Do you see that thankful, humble, blessed servant? If you do, then praise God. But if you don't, you need to change. You need to repent. You need to change the way you're thinking and the direction you're walking. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. You need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins after repenting of those sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is exactly who He claimed to be, the Son of God. And when you're baptized into Christ, then you're added to His church, the church that belongs to Christ. If you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.